Another funny basic story is that when back in those days we were relegated to living at Miss Jones, Miss Brown, Miss Green. You know, we couldn't stay in the hotels because of the segregation laws. And so we're in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and we're staying at, we'll say, Miss Jones's house. And the people in the neighborhood would pitch in and say, well, I can take two. I'll take one. I can take three, but one has to sleep on a pallet and all that, you know. So this lady took two, which was me and Basie. We were roommates at that time. So they had a big bed and the one very essential part of the room, and a small little slab of a couch way back up against the wall. Naturally, I'm in the slab, and he's in the big bed. So I know that Basie can't go to sleep with the light off, and I can't go to sleep with the light on. So he likes to read his literature, which is comic books, every night. I said, well, the only thing for me to do is just wait till he goes to sleep. When I hear that book flap down on his belly, and he's like, get up and turn off the light. So, as is always the case, before you go to bed, you reach in your pocket and put all your change on the, you know, out of your pockets on the dresser. So I put mine on my end of the dresser, and he put his where in the other end. There were no drawers in the dresser, you know, so we had to put everything there. So I went over on my slab and turned to the wall and hopes that I could trick myself into going to sleep, but I couldn't. And he was just laughing and reading his book. Ah, you seen that song good? I mean, just like a kid in a movie, you know. So sure enough, pretty soon I heard the book say, and I heard, I said, uh-oh, now's my chance. So I eased over to the dresser to pull the switch where the light was right there, but it left. Ding! He said, put it back, damn it. I don't know what he meant to light or what he thought I had absconded with his belongings. Nah, I never got over that. Yeah. Well, Duke was an aloof type person. Too many people that came into his dressing room, you know, except very special people, particularly ladies. You know, and Basie was just totally different. He just loved to hang out with the cats, you know. Duke very rarely rode on the bus with the guys, and very rarely traveled, period, with the guy. He was always riding in Harry Carney's Chrysler, you know, considered himself the world's greatest navigator. Yeah, let's make a left turn here and take Route 5 and then go over to 32. Then we'll make a right if we take that side road, and that knocks off about 100 miles. then what happened, they said, see, world's greatest navigator. So he was beautiful with the guys, and he was one who demanded top caliber musicianship, and he would surround himself with people from whom he knew he could get that, and he was not, and he would tell you in a minute, a disciplinarian. He would hit sometimes hit the discord on the piano in order to get your attention, and then he would scream loudly, listen, listen. And he made most of us aware of what he meant by listen, because we used to think, well, this cat thinks we're deaf or something, you know, but all he was trying to do was to emphasize the importance of listening to the linear value, listening to the rhythmic pattern, listening to the flexion, listening to the phrasing. The under players listen to the type of phrasing that the lead players would do it. So often, you might have in a section where a lead player's playing, and a guy playing second, yeah, 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 and underneath, yeah, 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 and then on the bottom, you know. So you got four totally different vibratos simply because we don't listen. And so sometime in some establishments of learning, the kids are so heavily endowed with, or taught by people who are heavily endowed with capabilities of teaching them the square root of a B-flat chord till they don't teach them how to listen. Simplicity is the most complex form.
That was a quote?
The old timers used to have a habit of, when asked questions by young people about building for their careers and questions that would help them advanced, they would give you wrong answers. So, this old dude in St. Louis one time how to improve my tone in the lower register. And he told me, he said, son, you got a mirror at home? I'm very naive. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, you go home, you sit in front of the mirror when you practice, and you, while you're blowing, you grit your teeth as hard as you can and wiggle your left ear. Not the right ear, but the left ear. That's about as out as you can get. So I went home and practiced that, and not knowing that it wasn't going to do a damn thing for me, but I tried it. And when of course, it didn't happen, people said, I did develop where I could wiggle my left ear. People said, did you see that kid wiggle his left ear? This had nothing to do, of course, with developing my tone in the lower register. So as a result of that, I haven't been a victim of falsehoods and lies and ways and means of deterring me instead of encouraging me. I decided I would want to get really ensconced into jazz education and just through the process of osmosis pass about as much, you know, knowledge as I could about mm-hmm. the perpetuation of the craft of jazz. And that's why I got involved in it and became pretty deeply involved in it. So much so until I have received 3 honorary doctor's degrees and I have 2 more that are coming up. And I have a jazz institute. It's called the Clark International Institute of Jazz Studies, mm-hmm. and I'm the artistic director. But there's so many things that, you know, cannot be documented. You can't write in a book. This passage, in order to get the real jazz flavor from it, mm-hmm. has to be played. Shagoon gong jam how do ow. You can't write that in a book. You know? As close as we came to it is my book called The Interpretation of the Jazz Language, which we take the legitimate spelling on one line mm-hmm. and the jazz type of phrasing, like for up above it might say pum, 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 pum. Eighth notes and below would be a series of triplets, da, 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 the way we actually phrase, you know. And in between we'll have some hieroglyphics or some guttural or oral sounds that might go tie up to 2 like shoo chikab do ow or something like that. Well, it's almost impossible to write legitimately that. Write that.
You mentioned Dizzy too.
Yeah, oh, Berks was my man. He's a beautiful cat now. Yeah, we Board of Education was sponsoring a drive to undo some of the things that the celebrities had coerced the kids into doing, and bad habits playing for mm-hmm. particular brass, like puffing their cheeks and playing mm-hmm. wrong embouchure. And Dizzy, of course, was the leading exponent of cheek puffing. So he asked me to go with him down to Joe Gustaf's study. Joe Gustaf taught trumpet and played the first trumpet of the St. Louis Symphony. So we went down and Joe says to Dizzy, I introduced him, he said, play something for me. He was a very devastating type of personality. Mm-hmm. Oh, intimidating, man. And he said to Dizzy, play something. You know, of course. I said, okay. Meanwhile, he walked away to listen. Dizzy started playing. So he stopped and turned around. He said, do that again. So this time he's looking at Dizzy. Dizzy said, play something even more fantastic. So he said, play me some eighth notes. So Dizzy said, bip, 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 bip. Some straight eighth notes. Bip, bip, bip. And every time he go, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So he said, do that again. So he watched closer. Slower, he said, blip, 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 faster. Blip, 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 blip. So he says, how long have you been doing that? So Burke said, all my life. He says, well, you just keep on doing it and get the hell out of here. And I went over to hear Miles, and he was a little thin kid, mm-hmm. and his teacher, Buchanan, so he said, man, you got to come over to school here, this little Dewey Davis. I got, man, he's bad. So I went over and met this little timid, skinny kid, and he was playing his buns off then, but he was thin. One time when I was sick, and he called up from, he was in California at the time. He was married to Cecily at the time. And he called him and he says, "Hey, man, I heard you sick." I said, "Yeah." And then he said, "If you die on me, I'll kill your ass." Then the next day he sent me a great big basket of fruit, cookies, candies, crackers, and all sorts of goodies, you know. And he was a real pussy guy, really a sweetheart of a guy. Once you got past that facade of being a keep away from me type of person, he wasn't that at all. Really was a nice person.